Imagine the perfect summer wedding on Nantucket's pristine shores. The wealthy Winbury family hosting an extravagant celebration for their younger son, Benji, and his bride-to-be, Celeste Otis. The champagne is chilled, the flowers arranged, and the guest list impeccable. But what happens when the maid of honor is found floating in the water on the morning of the ceremony? The picture-perfect facade crumbles, revealing a web of secrets that no one saw coming. This idyllic setting becomes the backdrop for a murder investigation that exposes the cracks beneath seemingly flawless relationships. As Chief Ed Kopenisch arrives at the Winbury's waterfront estate, Summerland, he immediately recognizes this won't be a simple drowning case. The timing, the missing best man, and the high-profile family suggest something far more sinister has occurred on Nantucket's exclusive shores. The Winburys and the Otises couldn't be more different. Tag and Greer Winbury represent old money and social power. He's a successful businessman with properties across the globe. She's a celebrated mystery novelist who approaches her son's wedding with meticulous control. "I am a snob," Greer freely admits to herself while driving to collect Celeste's parents from the ferry. She's determined that her younger son's nuptials will reflect the family status, unlike Thomas's Texas wedding, which she considered vulgar. Meanwhile, Bruce and Karen Otis are a middle-class couple from the Bronx, nearly $100,000 in debt from Karen's ongoing cancer treatments. They married young and honeymooned modestly in Connecticut. Now, 32 years later, Karen's cancer has spread to her stomach and liver, though they've kept this terminal diagnosis from Celeste to avoid casting a shadow over her wedding. When the families first meet, the contrast is stark. The Otises struggle to adjust to the Winburys' magnificent waterfront estate, with its private beach and guest cottages. Yet beneath these obvious differences lies surprising similarities. Both families harbor secrets that threaten to unravel during this fateful weekend.
What seems like a tragic accident unravels into a complex web of relationships. Detective Nick the Greek uncovers multiple affairs among the wedding party. Tag Winbury, the groom's father, was secretly involved with Merritt, the dead maid of honor, who had become pregnant with his child. Thomas Winbury maintained a long-term affair with Featherly Dale, a British antiques dealer who threatened exposure after Thomas tried to end things due to his wife's pregnancy. Meanwhile, missing best man Shooter Uxley harbored deep feelings for bride-to-be Celeste, feelings she secretly reciprocated despite her engagement to Benji. The investigation reveals that Tag and Merritt argued about her pregnancy during a late-night kayak ride. He wanted her to terminate it while she refused, providing a clear motive for murder.
At the center of this storm stands Celeste Otis, the bride whose wedding day has transformed into a nightmare. As the assistant director of the Bronx Zoo specializing in primates, Celeste is intelligent and compassionate, yet somewhat out of her depth in the Winbury's world of wealth and privilege. Her journey to this ill-fated wedding began when she met Benji during a snake presentation at the zoo. Their relationship developed through increasingly sophisticated dates, French films, nine-course seafood dinners, literary readings. Though initially intimidated by these new experiences, Celeste began to appreciate how Benji was broadening her world. However, her certainty about marrying him was compromised when she met his best friend, Shooter Uxley. Their first encounter sparked an immediate and intense attraction that shook Celeste deeply, just days after telling Benji she loved him for the first time. When Benji proposed a year before the wedding, Celeste accepted despite her conflicted feelings, choosing security with Benji over the uncertain but powerful connection with Shooter. This decision was further complicated by her mother's illness. Celeste believed that doing the right thing might somehow help her mother recover. Yet as the wedding approached, Celeste developed a revealing stutter that manifested only in social situations, a psychological tell that even Greer recognized as significant doubt about marrying Benji. When Benji proposed a year before the wedding, Celeste accepted despite her conflicted feelings, choosing security with Benji over the uncertain but powerful connection with Shooter. This decision was further complicated by her mother's illness. Celeste believed that doing the right thing might somehow help her mother recover.
Yet as the wedding approached, Celeste developed a revealing stutter that manifested only in social situations, a psychological tell that even Greer recognized as significant doubt about marrying Benji. The relationship between Karen and Celeste becomes central as Karen's terminal cancer influences their choices. After a haunting nightmare of Celeste drowning in her wedding dress, Karen recognizes her daughter's unspoken reluctance to marry Benji, despite the expensive wedding plans and social pressure. In their pivotal garden house conversation following Merritt's death, Celeste confirms her mother's intuition about canceling the wedding. Drawing from her own 35-year marriage to Bruce, Karen shares hard-earned wisdom. There's no such thing as a perfect couple. She explains that all relationships harbor disappointments and secrets beneath their polished exterior. In a powerful gesture of maternal love, Karen flushes her pain medications, choosing clarity over comfort to remain present for her daughter's journey ahead. As Saturday evening approaches, critical revelations emerge. Elida, the housekeeper, returns Greer's pillbox found in Thomas's trash. Greeter overhears Thomas and Abby arguing about his affair with Featherly, with Abby mentioning seeing Featherly in the powder room the night before. Greer realizes the truth. Abby had taken her sleeping pills and attempted to drug Featherly's drink, which accidentally reached Merritt instead. Greer decides to keep this secret to protect the Winbury family. In her final moments, a distraught Merritt throws her silver ring into the ocean after her kayak ride with Teg. Pregnant and alone, she cuts her foot on glass while returning to her cottage. As she rinses the wound in the ocean, she spots her ring underwater. Made drowsy by the barbiturate, she reaches for it while floating and drowns, an unintended victim of Abby's revenge plot against her husband's mistress. The wedding's cancellation reverberates through all lives involved. Celeste tells Benji she won't marry him, a decision unrelated to Merritt but tied to her own truth, evidenced by her vanished stutter. Though heartbroken, Benji acknowledges he can't separate himself from his family's privilege and actions. The Winbury family faces their exposed secrets. Tag's affair with Merritt and her pregnancy become known to authorities, while Thomas's relationship with Featherly comes to light, though Abby's attempted drugging of Featherly remains hidden. For the Otises, Karen's unexpected improvement grants precious time with Bruce, while her discovery of his feelings for a male coworker, though difficult, doesn't erase their decades of love. Celeste finds freedom to pursue her authentic path. As everyone leaves Nantucket, they understand that perfection is merely an illusion. The perfect couple could describe any pair in the story, each appearing flawless while concealing doubts and secrets. Like Nantucket's persistent fog and shifting sandbanks, the truth remains partially visible, yet perpetually out of reach.